Father, we thank you that we can draw near to you this morning. We thank you that we can, with confidence, with boldness, Lord, come into your presence, Lord. We thank you that we can come with rejoicing and thanksgiving, Lord. And thank you for just those testimonies, Lord, of your goodness and your faithfulness, God. And we give you all honor, Lord. We give you praise. We give you all glory, Father, because you are worthy. And we thank you that we can rejoice with those who rejoice, Father. And we thank you this morning that we all look all around us, Father, even when things are tough and there's tough situations all around us, we still recognize, we still acknowledge, we still know that you are worthy of our worship, Father. And this morning, as we draw near, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is life to us, Lord. And as we draw near, as we come into your presence, Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher, Lord. We welcome you and we ask that you come and breathe life on us, Lord. And we ask that this word will become flesh in and through us, Lord. Will manifest your glory in and through us, Lord. And will shape us and make us and transform us into the image of your Son, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry. Seems like quite a few of us are in church are struggling with various colds and flus and things. We've been praying an intercession on Thursday after evenings, just before I forget, and I want to encourage you, please join us if you're able to. At the moment it's from 8 to 9. We confirm the venue every week. And it's just a blessing to just draw near to God, to hear what he's got on his heart for our community. And for us, we pray for members, but we also pray for our community and for what's got on God's heart. So we've been praying for the guys affected by the floods and things. And I've been trying to think how can we get stuck in and help in a practical way. So if you have contacts or if you know of ways we can do that, please let me know. I wanted to just go there and and see what help one can be, but I heard of guys that got into trouble with the local authorities and health and safety and all kinds of issues. So I suppose one has to go through the right channels. We'll see if there's any way we can do that in a bit more practical way. But so watch the space. okay, last week, was it the week before, we had a look at the life of Christ. We had a look at some in the world, if one looks at, what's been said out there, a lot of controversy around the person of Christ, a lot of different opinions, a lot of different revelations about who he is. Was he just a prophet? Was he a good man? Was he just a good teacher? Or was he what he claimed to be, the Son of God? And for me, it's kind of a black and white thing because, if somebody claims to be the Son of God, if somebody claims to be God, then he is, or maybe he's got a screw loose, if you're with me. I don't know how people can say, no, he was just a prophet, or, he was a good teacher. For me, it's either the one or the other type of thing. there's some good debates, even on YouTube these days. There's one where Ken Ham debated a well-known, it's called The Science Guy. Apparently had this the show on TV. So he's a well-known atheist. It's called The Science Guy. And I can't remember his name now. Very, very interesting debate. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I read the summary. But there's amazing stuff out there. But the point is, a lot of stuff around Christ, the person of Christ, that specific debate was about the creation evolution thing. And we started to look at Christ himself and what he said about him, his purpose for being here and his purpose for coming. And this morning I just want to take that one step or two steps further and look at how the statements that Christ made about himself. And in John, and it's interesting, the Gospel of John, written quite a number of years after the other Gospels. Apostle John, he was leading the church in Antioch for a while, a number of years. And then when the persecution came, and they got lots of issues, and they tried to kill him a couple of times, and they weren't able to. It's actually, if you go and read this, it's quite hectic what happened. I mean, at one stage I tried to boil him in oil and the Romans, and he wouldn't die. So they gave up and they sent him. They sent him into exile on the island of Patmos, and it's there that he wrote the books of, you know, the Revelation, and also after he wrote the Revelation, he wrote the Gospel of John. So you can actually see that in the way he wrote it, and scholars kind of figured out that, you know, even just, you know, in the context and the language he uses, it's written a couple of years later, but this is still an eyewitness account. And actually, in fact, very powerfully so, because while most of the other guys deserted Jesus at the cross, John was there. So this is very much eyewitness. And in the Gospel of John, there are seven times that Jesus says, "I am," and he makes very specific statements about himself and who he was. And this used to freak out the Jews quite a lot, because mostly when you said "I am," then he used the same wording that God used in the Old Testament, that which they knew very well, when he introduced himself to say Abraham or Moses, and would say, "I am the great I am," and then they would freak out the guys, because obviously they were thinking he'd completely blasphemous. But we're going to just look at a couple of these, and again, the question this morning is, with all that stuff out there, who's Christ in our lives? What's the reality of Christ in your and my life? Okay, so let's get into that. Let's look at John chapter 6. We're going to stick to John this morning. Okay, from verse 30. Okay, just a bit of context here before we read. This is just after, I think it's a day after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. So, you know what happened. There were lots of people, 5,000 men, probably a lot more people in total. And a little boy brought five loaves and two fish, and this is what they had to feed and the people. And, you know, there was a miracle, and as Jesus thanked God and prayed for the food and distributed it, everybody was fed, okay? So this is this huge miracle, and the disciples were there, yet they were part of it. Can you imagine receiving something from Christ and then kind of handing it out and realizing, you know, I'm kind of handing out, but it's not getting less. Well, I don't know exactly how it worked, you know, but, you know, it's just, there's a miracle happening. They were part of it, and it was to do with bread and with feeding people. Now, this is the next day, but okay, we were the same, okay, so just have grace for these guys. Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you?" Okay, like I said, when reading this, you kind of shake your head, but you realize, how often do we do similar stuff? God does a miracle in our lives, and then the next day we're like, "Oh, you know, Lord, show me a sign." What, you know, what sign will you do, will you perform? And then he says, "What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Jesus said to him, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And even when he says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, they still didn't get it. They still didn't see what he was saying. And then he had to spell it out. He said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And besides the whole picture of bread, of nourishing us, and Christ being our nourishment, being our source, being that what fills us and what energizes us and gives us strength. Besides that, he specifically says that he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So he gives that picture again of being filled eternally, of being sustained and of being fulfilled. But then, taking it a bit further, you know, the when you teach us the guys to pray about the daily bread, and I just, you know, that's such a reality for us. Jesus is our daily bread. And how often do we look for something, or we look for something even around spiritual things, around God, but we miss the fact that He is our sustenance. He is our daily bread. And yes, it happens through various ways and through the word, etc., which is all daily bread. But Christ Himself, He says, I am the bread of life. And if you think of daily bread, daily sustenance, daily nourishment, especially when you have a small baby, they eat all the time. That's what they do best. You know, David, yeah, he does it really well. You can see how they grow. Literally see sometimes with these little ones, even in a day, there's a difference, and you can feel it as well. Often we treat Christ not as daily bread, but as an occasional treat. You know, Friday night, we don't really do, you know, we didn't do the hearts and the arrows and things normally, but I decided to, you know, come, let's see if I can bless my wife with a meal. So, yeah, you can check with her whether it went down well. I believe it did, but praise God for, I didn't have to do the whole thing. There were parts that were already ready, but the other parts that I did from scratch, so I just kind of balanced it, you know. But so sometimes we treat Christ like that. It's an occasional, okay, now I'm giving myself away. I don't cook that often. But it's an occasional kind of, it's an occasional treat. Yes, you know, I want to spend some time with Jesus now. This week is going to be a good one, type of thing. But it's meant to be daily bread. He's our daily sustenance. And just as I cannot have David have one bottle or one feed a week and hope he's going to be okay, in the same way, and as in our walk with God, in our being victorious and our being overcomers, we need our daily bread. We need Jesus to be a daily bread and not an occasional blessing. And then thinking about daily bread in terms of having a meal, it seems very basic. It seems very kind of ordinary, but that's also part of what it is, because it should be the basic thing that we need every day. He's what we need every day. He's the basic thing that we need every day. And but then on the other extreme, thinking of a banquet, the psalmist writes of God preparing a table for us, and you can see this is big. This is not your average breakfast. It's as big. And we see Abram, Abram in Genesis saying, Lord, you're my shield, you're my exceedingly great reward. So even though he is our daily bread, he's also our exceedingly great reward. He's also the one that lays out the banquet before us. He's also the one that celebrates us in front in a grand and spectacular way. But the daily nourishment, he's that for us, the bread of life. Okay, let's go forward to John chapter 8. This is when, just a bit of context again, there was a lady caught in adultery. The big thing, though, she was dragged out into the street, in public, probably didn't have clothes on, big hoo-ha right there, and she was obviously completely, you know, she was ready to die, because that was the law, that she would be stoned. And the Jews and the guys that were trying to get Jesus into a difficult spot, so they brought her to him, knowing what the Jewish law said, and asking him, okay, what do you do now? What are you going to do, type of thing? Because he's preaching love and forgiveness, etc. But according to the law, she needs to be stoned. And then let's read from verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw that no one but the woman. He said to a woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And this is, one of those very significant statements. And we know the statement that he is the light of the world, but often we miss this, the context there. And, you know, in a world that we live in where darkness is increasing, that's one of the promises we have in Scripture, that in the last days there will be great darkness. And the darkness, there will be increasing darkness. I don't know, you know, dark is kind of dark, but we know what the Scripture talks about, the increasing darkness. And when you look around us, guys, I don't know about you, but when you look at the news and you look at what's happening out there, you get this, okay, no, this is bad. This is increasing darkness. And it's sometimes we fall into the trap of being discouraged by the darkness that is increasing. But Jesus wasn't, it's like he's not caught unawares or off guard. He actually said, guys, it's going to be great darkness, exceedingly great darkness. But then he also promises, and I don't know if you've been in darkness for a while in a dark room or in a whatever, if the electricity is out. I don't know, hope everybody has still got electricity. If you don't, please chat to me afterwards. But in South Africa, it was a common occurrence. If you've lived outside the city where we were, then sometimes it's really dark. And then if suddenly a light or a kind of a decent light, even a small light, even a candle or a match, it's amazing how bright that light is in that great darkness. And so I want to encourage us this morning that Christ, when he says, I'm the light of the world, that means how even when the darkness is increasing, his light will just be brighter and brighter and brighter. And the distinguishing, that distinguishing factor, where there's a time, I remember, where there's lots of gray areas, it seems. But it's as if as we go towards the end times, that there's less and less gray, but there's more and more darkness and light, and great bright light. And deep darkness, but great light. And I want to encourage us that as we follow him, that Christ is the light of the world. And as we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. And the picture of his word being a lamp and being a light, kind of for me always, you know, thinking of a lamp, you know, kind of showing here the next step, but the light giving us vision and direction as well. We don't have anything to fear. If he is the lamp, if his word is the light at our for our next step, but also the vision and the focus and our direction that we follow, we don't have to fear the darkness. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to get heavy when we look at what's happening around us, because Christ is the light. And just encouraged again with this thing with my cousin, you know, it's not like I've preached to him. I mean, he knows what I do, you know. That's a difficult thing of being a pastor. You can never have like a casual conversation with somebody that you know, because they're always kind of, yeah, you know, there's a context. But he, you know, obviously, what a blessing that he actually would ask me the question. But we just realized that somewhere in our encouragement, you know, just loving him, there was light that shone into his dark place that he's in. The other day, Anna and I, we had a typical, what was it? I don't even know, typical, but you know how it goes when the little ones are kind of coming apart at the seams and everything is kind of fraying, you know, it's getting a bit rough. And we had somebody visiting us, and it wasn't one of the situations in the car where both kids were screaming, you know, and we were trying to find a place to eat, and we couldn't, and everything was full, and there was no place to sit, and, you know, and we were just wanted, it was already a bit of a tense situation, and now we were driving to find another place because we wanted to bless this poor person that's being traumatized in the car, and, you know, it was like, oh, and then, and, oh, shame, and no, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but she's not blessed when she's hungry. Okay, she just, it's not a good thing. And funnily enough, Abby is the same, you know. So it's one of those things. You must just get food. You must just find food. You know, it's like an important thing then. And I just remember thinking, wow, this poor person must be traumatized now. This pastor and his wife are getting all, you know, it's getting interesting here, and the kids are like doing their thing. And it was so funny because afterwards she just said, wow, just in the afternoon, later on when things had calmed down, I suppose, she just said, wow, I just really enjoy spending time with you guys because you're so real. And even when things get tough, you're just so, just love and grace. And we were like, oh, are you in the same car? you know, and we were just laughing at it afterwards because she just texted Anna late and she said, oh, just thanks so much for just the time and we could spend together and you guys are such a blessing. And we just said, wow, you know, the Lord probably struck her with blindness and deafness or something. But no, what we were encouraged by is that even with us just being ourselves and the chaotic family life as it can be sometimes, somehow the light of Christ was ministering to her, even in our weakness, even in our, you know, just being human. And even there, she was blessed. And I want to just encourage you guys, yo, when we abide in Him, He truly is the light. And we, sorry, we don't have to try and shine when we are in Christ. As Lou was saying, even those around us, the unexpected ones are seeing something in us, and are, you know, we cry, they see Christ in us. Okay, I mean, John 10. This part speaks about Jesus being the good shepherd. We're not going to look at that specifically, but there's a specific bit that he mentions here. Sorry, just a moment. Okay, verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We see, and if you look at the context here, he's talking about the shepherd, and in those days, if the shepherd had to stay with the sheep out in the pasture somewhere, out in the field, they would kind of make a smallish shelter, built with rocks and stuff, and then and the shepherd would literally sit in the opening. So the sheep would be inside, and the shepherd would sit and sleep in the opening. So he would be the door, if that makes sense. And so anything that wanted to get to the sheep had to kind of confront him or try and get over, but had to kind of confront him to be able to get to the sheep. And so we see a couple of things here. Christ is the door. He is the way we enter into pasture. Okay, He is the way we come to God. Okay, He is the only door. You can't get in the window. There's no other back way. Okay, so we're going to look at that in a moment again. But He's also our protection. He's our covenant protection. And if we are in the fold, if we are in that place of safety that He has prepared for us, He stands between us and anything that wants to get to us. And sometimes it feels like we're getting it from all sides, guys. And I want to encourage you, don't fall for that stuff. Just stand on this promise that Jesus is my intercessor. He's between me and my enemy. He's literally fighting on my behalf. He's interceding for us. He's standing in the gap for us. And you know, it's such a blessing that when we pray with Abby, when we pray as a family, we pray for our household. You know, this to have this picture of Christ standing between us and as a family, of us as a body, and the enemy, and being the door, being saying, "Listen, if you want to get to them, you're going to go through me first," type of thing. And such a comfort in that, such a protection. He is our protection. He's our covenant protection. And part of the covenant of those days, if somebody made covenant was with somebody else, was that all the military might that the one party would possess, when coming into covenant with somebody, that military might and protection, whatever they had to their disposal, would be that also that of the other person. And so all the might of heaven and the armies of angels, when we came into covenant with Christ through the blood of his son, with God through the blood of his son, that is now ours. And so he's our protection. But not only our protection, he takes one step forward. He says, I've come that they may have life in abundance. So not only does he say, listen, I will protect you, but he says, what I've prepared for you here in this place of safety is abundance of life. The world wants to make it, you know, it's often we come from a perspective where, yeah, there's such a lot of rules and it's just such a dry, dead life to follow God or to be a Christian. But what a lie, you know, that it's in the relationship with God that we can have real life, that we can have real abundance, that we can have something that is of eternal value, something that is life beyond the temporal abundance of life. The thief, again, the thief that wants to get to the sheep or wants to get through the window, wants to climb over the wall, he comes for very specific reasons, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But he says, I've come not only to protect, not only to watch out for you, but I've come that you may have life in abundance. And again, you know, at the beginning of the year, well, it's February, but, you know, it's good for us to look at ourselves and say, well, Am I living in that abundance? Am I experiencing the peace that God has bought for me on the cross, that Christ has paid for? Am I walking in that protection? Am I positioning myself? Am I following him to really walk in the light of life that he is? Am I embracing, am I taking a hold of this abundance of life? Okay, let's move on. John 14. I'm just going to start on the second bit of verse 2 there. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's Christ, Jesus speaking to the disciples. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Okay, so now the guys are completely confused. So Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, one of the very well-known statements that Jesus makes. If you're thinking about, you know, when you're asking for directions, okay, now, this is a mighty work that God has done in my life, work of grace, that I've come to a place now where I ask for directions. I'm not priding myself in that, and but no, so maybe not enough yet. But I do ask for directions. But you know, when somebody is giving you directions, have you noticed how some people are not good at giving directions? They'll say, you know, this place, and you say, no, I don't know this place, I don't know this area. Okay, no, but this place, and you go, and then sometimes they tell you, when you to go there and you see this building, and when you see the big red school building, yeah, and you write it, you're writing down, yeah, if you see that, you know this is wrong, you've gone completely wrong, you know. In any case, these days with Google Maps and stuff on your phone, it's supposed to be easier. But when you're asking for directions, or you look in a strange place and you're looking for a specific road, have you that feeling of relief that when you see the sign, this is it, this is the street, or this is the road? It's great, you know. It's kind of okay. Now I'm at least I know this is the one. I can now look for the place, type of thing. And but Jesus, he doesn't give us directions. Okay, he doesn't point us in the right direction. He doesn't say, listen, if you follow these steps, you're gonna get to the right destination. He says, no, me, I'm the way. You gotta know me. And in the same way, you know, it's, and the reality is we cannot do it, and I think we often do. We come from a religious place and we try to find the way. We try to find the right path, if you want to say it, in life. We want to try and walk in the right way. And we do it wanting to just stand kind of apart from Christ. We want to get advice from him. We want to hear what he has to say. But it's funny. Maybe it's a male thing, or maybe it's just a religious thing. But sometimes we try to do it from a distance. So, Lord, you know, just please send me some advice, or just for a word, send somebody with a word, or maybe a sermon is, will have a good thing in it, or maybe small group will do it. But Jesus says, no, no, there's no directions, there's no five steps. You got to know me. And I am the way. And if you're intimate with me, and if you know me, then it means you know the way. And you know, it's yeah. When you're lost, you've kind of. The other day, I had to go and pick something up that we bought on eBay. A little cycle helmet for Abby, 99p. What can you do? Pick up, you know. So I had to go pick it up. It was on the way home. And it was a bit awkward because when the guy opened the door, he was like, his wife handled the stuff, so he didn't know. So he went to look for the helmet and he brought it. It was quite a good one, by the way. Bargain. In any case, so he's like, okay, here it is. And he says, I think it's 99p. So it was a bit awkward, you know. So I said, well, no, I paid by PayPal. Okay, you know, type of thing. So a bit weird, but in any case, so just having to look for the place, and at the moment, for some reason, my phone can't receive a data signal, so I couldn't do the whole Google Maps thing. I lost my train of thought. But once you know the path that you have to find, you know, you're fine. Once you know the way, you're okay. Once you've got the, you know, and especially like when we visit my brother-in-law and them and they live in Kidbrook. And the first couple of times you use the GPS to get there, you know, it feels like the other side of the country near Blackheath. But now I know the way and I know it well. So now I don't have to worry about the GPS. And the more, and that's the mistake we make. We think, listen, I need to memorize the steps. I need to memorize these things. And if I work really hard at it, I'm going to be okay. But oh no, Jesus said, just know, you need to know me. You need to be intimate with me. And if you intimately know me, you're going to know the way. You're going to be fine where you're going. You don't have to stress about it. If you know me, and we, you know, we stress about stuff and we make plans. And if you're like me, you have schemes for everything. You have to repent often. But Christ says, no, I am the way. And then he says, how many will come to him saying, Lord, Lord? And he says, no, but you don't know me. Don't try and do it for distance. Don't ask God for a fax. He sent his son. Okay, and he says, I am the way. I am the truth. Same if when the truth. How many times do we go looking for stuff? The internet is going to be a blessing. But guys, do you know what rubbish there is on the internet? In terms of spiritual stuff. I've guys sending me stuff sometimes. Check this out, or you know, and then it takes you to some kind of a site, and then they've got this exposing somebody is actually the devil or whatever, this great church leader or whatever, you know. And then I don't know, it's really difficult when I have to really pray and trust God for discernment. But what happened the other day, somebody sent me, I can't even remember what it was about, sent me this link. So I went to the site and I didn't read the article. I quickly had a scan through the rest of the site, and I saw two things. I saw them saying that only one translation of the Bible is acceptable, one specific one. Maybe they got shares in the company that prints it, I don't know. But the other thing they said, that they took on Reinhard Bonnke as being a false evangelist, a fake evangelist. So then I didn't have to read the article. Isn't that a blessing? Because I've met Reinhard Bonnke, so I've got it. At least some of the other guys that they had there I haven't met. So maybe, and praise God. Anyway, so I'm just going to say, guys, there's a lot of nonsense out there. Jesus says, I am the truth. You don't have to go look far. Okay, there's obviously, we study the word, and there's lots of good things out there as well. But just do it in an accountable way. Ask somebody, listen, is this guy any good? Does he talk nonsense if you want to read stuff online? But Christ says, I am the truth. So the basic place where we start is in his presence, is in his word, if we're so looking for something. And he says, I am the life. There's no life, outside of him. There's no other way. There's no other there's no other plan. There's no other road to enlightenment and to eternal life. He is it. That's it. He's it. And actually, what a blessing. We had dinner the other day with a couple of guys, and we had this, you know, this, I don't know if you'd, anyway, this is called raclette. It's this thing we, it's actually a Swiss thing, but we do it completely wrong. We do it with all kinds of other funky stuff, but you have little, all kinds of ingredients that cover the table. And somebody mentioned there at the table, said, you know what, it's apparently research has shown that if you give somebody more than, I can't remember what he said, 4 or 5 options, it just causes stress. You know, you shouldn't give people more than a certain number of options in any scenario. You know, and you know what? Praise God, I've got good news for you today. There's only one. This is an easy decision. Jesus says, I'm the only way. There's no 5 ways. There's no 5 paths. You have to figure out the right. He says, I am the only way. I am the truth. I am the life. There's no, you don't have to go break your head about it. You don't have to go do research about it. He helps us here. You know, funny, sometimes scripture is funny. There's a place where it's, you know, God says to the guys, says, I've put before you life and death. And he gives them a tip, says, choose life. He says, makes the decision easier. So Jesus says, listen, I am the way. There's no 5 ways. He's the truth. He's the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Praise the Lord. Okay, almost there. And then in conjunction with that, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but John 15, very powerfully, Jesus as the vine, and as we read in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So we come to a place of saying, okay, but now how do we live in the purpose? You know, how do we, you know, bear fruit? And Christ just, I just want to end with this when he says, if you want to bear fruit that brings glory to God, because ultimately that's what our fruit is supposed to be, is to bring glory to him, is to make him, his name famous, is to make people want to go to him. And Jesus says, you need to be plugged into me. You need to abide. You need to have your source. And it's such a powerful picture of the branch, because that branch is useless. That, you know, you remove that branch, it's just going to do one thing. It's going to shrivel up and die. And you just, when you plug it in there, when the branch is plugged into the vine, that's where the life comes. That's where any potential of life, any potential of growth, any potential of fruit comes from only one place. It's from the vine. And, you know, sometimes, well, I don't know, if you're feeling that there's maybe been a time where you're feeling dry, or you're feeling there's no fruit, or there's no growth, then maybe one must have a look at are you plugged into? What are you and I plugged into? Are we receiving sustenance from him? Are we plugged into the source, into the place that, you know, the vine is connected to the roots, and that's where the life comes from. Are we abiding in the vine so that we can bear fruit that will bring glory to his name? Let's stand this morning. And just very briefly, just to recap, firstly, the bread of life. Are you in a place, are you and I in a place where Jesus is our sustenance? Our daily bread. Or do we sometimes make it a special treat here and there? You see, it's the light of the, are we walking? Are you walking in the light? Are you and I walking in, are we experiencing his light in our lives? Are we feeling intimidated by the darkness around us? And then the door, the protection, but also the abundance, the way that he offers to us, and then the way, the truth, and the life. And then in terms of the him being the way, not giving us directions, sometimes when we have to find our way through life, and it's, you know, when you're standing in a mall or in a, I don't know where the places, I mean, we were in South Africa again now, some of these malls are just, I don't know what people think, but just make them bigger and bigger and bigger and more difficult to negotiate and just easier to get lost in. In any case, I'm not a mall type of person. But what I like is when they have the map, okay? And you know what? Those maps are brilliant. Some of them are interactive. Some of them touch screen these days. It's amazing stuff. But you know what? That thing is absolutely useless if you do not know one thing. And that's that little thingy that shows you, you are here. Right? That little arrow with the little man standing somewhere there. And hopefully you can figure out if that's you. But and I want to just encourage us. It's so important for us to sometimes to stand still and to just get honest with God, to get quiet with Him and say, Lord, just show me the big picture again. And to, where am I at now? Where am I? Am I in the vine? Am I, you know, maybe this tough season I'm experiencing is because I'm not in the vine. Or maybe it's just a storm. Maybe I must just press through. But it's important for us to say, God, I need your perspective on my life. I need to see where am I now on the map so that I can walk in your way, so that I can walk in the way that is Christ. Okay, let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. God, we thank you that you did not send us a fax or a letter only, Father, but you sent us your Son, Jesus, who came flesh, lived, gave up his glory, came to be one of us, to came and to be a human, to be a man and live amongst us. Father, we cannot fathom your love, Lord, that you would set aside, you know, that, Lord Jesus, you would set aside your glory and you would humble yourself to this place, to the point of becoming a man and serving us, and to the point of death and on the cross, God. But we give you praise this morning. We thank you, Lord, and we thank you that, you know, that when we are looking for light, when we are looking for sustenance, when we are looking for fulfillment, Lord, when we are looking for life, when we are looking for truth, when we are looking for the way to go forward, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we don't have to look any further. But you are our life, Lord. You are our light. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the life, God. You are our bread and our sustenance, our nourishment. God, we thank you that you are our protection, Lord. You are the abundance of life that we have. God, in this morning, we give you all honor and glory, Father. But we want to repent, Lord, of the times that we look for this, all these things in so many other places. Oh, God, even in a very spiritual way, we sometimes just miss you right here with us right now. God, Emmanuel, God with us here now. Everything we need, everything that we want, everything we could desire is in you, Father. And we repent of looking elsewhere, Lord. We repent of searching for stuff, God. And we draw near to you again this morning. We thank you for your life, God. We thank you for your fullness of provision. And this morning, in Jesus' name, as every eye is closed, if you know that maybe you know this morning you're not plugged into the vine. Maybe you know this morning that somehow you managed to get isolated and you're not in the sheepfold right now. You feel exposed and you feel isolated and even in danger. Or maybe you feel like you're stumbling through the darkness a bit and you're intimidated by the darkness. Or maybe you're at a place where you feel you're just kind of not exactly sure what's lying ahead. You've lost your way a bit. Just know right now where you're at. I just want you, just to stretch out your hand to God. We're just going to pray together. But just if you're there and you know you need to come near to Him again, you need to know the way again, you need to draw near to the truth again, you need to embrace Him, embrace intimacy with Him. If that's you this morning, I just want you to know it's not for me, just to respond to God. I just want us to pray together. As Father, we draw near to you. And then just, yeah, thank you that you see every heart, as hearts are reaching out to you now, Father. I thank you that you see every heart and you see every life. And I thank you that you that there's nothing, Lord, that can keep us from your love, Lord, that can separate us from you, Lord. And right now as we respond, Father, thank you, Lord, that you run to meet everyone where they're at, Father. Thank you that you know where every person is at, God. I thank you that your provision is absolutely perfect for each situation. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for a boldness for us to draw near to you, Lord. Not to try and figure out the way, but to know you, Lord Jesus. To go, to be intimately, have intimate knowledge of the way and the truth and the life. Oh, Father, and I thank you that you draw us near to you again. I thank you for a refreshing in your presence. I thank you for a renewal of strength, Lord. I thank you for a renewal of hope, God. As your word says, the hope that is an anchor for the soul, Lord. When the storms of life come, that we will have your hope anchor us in you, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you, Lord, even as we just draw near to you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for a capacity, Lord, to see your perspective, God, for our lives, but not only our lives, God, to see your bigger purpose, your bigger plan. And thank you, Lord, for the grace that you open our eyes to see the hunger and the need around us, the spiritual starvation of those around us, Lord, that we would be able to give a drink, that we were able to freely give as we have received, God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that it's such a blessing to be able to give directions to somebody. And Lord, I thank you that when people come and they are lost, that we would be able to just show them the way. That when people come and they are hungry, God, that we would just be able to show them where we found our bread, where we found life, God. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, I just feel the Lord wants to encourage us. I just saw that picture where, you know, if you've got like a Roman battlefield and you know, the enemy is at the bottom, and it's as if there's this like lone ranger on the hill. But then, you know, so the enemy initially thought, you know, there's one person, and then there's just came more and more armies, and they all had their different like flags just to show, you know, which section they're from. And I believe we must just declare just Jesus' lordship over our life. And it feels it's for your household, so for the men, you just declaring it over your households or whoever is the head of your household, but then also just for us as congregation where we fit into the greater body of Christ, literally just seeing it's not just us, there are so many more, and even not even mentioning the armies in the heavenlies. So literally as we just sing this, just see yourself just looking, and it's actually Christ going ahead of the armies, you know. He's first in battle. So literally just trust the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see how we just come alongside him.